Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good Friday morning to you folks out there in Nashville, Tennessee. Stay warm. We are live at the Kitchen Notes with all the biscuits wafting through the air. There's the smell of buttermilk, Derek, floating through the air here at the Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Marquise Munson producing, of course, back at the Game Nashville Studios. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. And the Tennessee Titans, we'll talk to Teron Davenport coming up in about 30 minutes from now. But the Tennessee Titans have a huge game. Two games left to go in the season. Can't overstate how what it means. We all know the stakes. We all know the playoff tiebreakers and the Steelers. And the Houston Texans are going to play the Buccaneers and have a chance to clinch the division on Saturday. So we will know, the Titans will know if they still have a chance to win the division or not when they take the field on Sunday. The New Orleans Saints come to town, one of the best teams in the NFL. I don't want to oversimplify this, Derek, because you can do that, and football is a massive game with massive different moving parts and offense, defense, special teams, individual matchups, calls, play calling, coaches, everything. I still think it comes down to, can they pressure Drew Brees? If this team can pressure Drew Brees and get him off his cadence, off his rhythm, off his 3-5-7-step drop, which is very, very difficult to do, if they can do that and run the football, I realize it's oversimplification of the entire process, but if they can get pressure on the quarterback and run the football, I think the Titans can win the game. Can they do that against this particular New Orleans Saints team?
It's going to be, you know, looking at, because here's the problem with it, is that he gets rid of the ball so fast. And it's hard to get to him. Now, you look at it and say, well, you know, he's an undersized quarterback and whatnot, but he make up for the him being undersized with his quick release. And it's hard to get to a quarterback when, you know, his release is that quick. He sort of has this Dan Marino type release that he gets rid of the ball very quickly, and you can't get to him. Their routes are a lot of short underneath, crossing routes, slants, you know, short end routes. So, you know, and then he's in shotgun basically every play. So it's hard to get pressure on a quarterback like that. Now, listen, San Fran was able to get pressure on them. The Rams were able to get pressure on them. But you're talking, when you're talking to Rams, you're talking about arguably the best defensive player in the National Football League in Aaron Donald. So he's going to get pressure. The Titans, for whatever reason, the second half of the season, have not put the pressure on quarterbacks that we saw the first half of the season. Maybe because of injury in the back end or whatnot, you know, injuries to guys up front. They, you know, Jarrell Casey missed some games. They had other guys just banged up. They have not been able to get the pressure on the quarterback the way they were able to early on. So, to me, if they can't get pressure on him or either knock balls down, then they have no shot at winning this game because they're not healthy in the back end. Even though Adoree Jackson might play, he's still not 100%. Logan Ryan has given up, you know, two or three big touchdowns in the last couple of weeks. You know, they don't have Malcolm Butler. They're dealing with a lot of stuff back there on the back end. And then it's compounded by they can't get pressure on a quarterback.
Yeah, I think Harold Landry becomes a huge, huge piece. I just – here's where one of those weeks where I would love to just be in the room with Dean Pease and just sit like a fly on the wall and watch what he's doing. Because it's – you know when Belichick – when Bill Belichick goes into a big game – You know what he's doing. He's focused on taking away whatever the offense does best, but he's going to do it in some crazy, bizarre way that you haven't thought of. Mm-hmm. And Dean Pease isn't too far off from all of that. He's cut from the same cloth and coached under the same tree. And I want to know what his plan is. Obviously, we'll see it unfold. I'm just curious. What does it entail? What does it involve? Mm-hmm. They've got a running back in Alvin Kamara who can catch a lot of passes. Jared Cook gets a lot of targets as well. They don't have a true pure number two. Ted Ginn, you know, is getting targeted like three or four times a game, so it's not like he's a huge asset. You know, Michael Thomas is, you know, sort of the master of his craft, right? Uh-huh. He's not a big time
It's not a threat downfield.
He's not a game breaker, but he and DeAndre Hopkins, they just are perfect wide receivers. They run perfect routes. They manipulate coverages. They have great ball skills. The hands are spectacular. Sure, he's only averaging 12 yards a catch or whatever, but he's got 133 receptions. I don't care who you are or how you get there. If you're breaking Marvin Harrison's single-season record for catches, you're pretty good. He's got a chance to if he catches 10 passes, I think he'll tie Marvin Harrison for the all-time NFL single-season record in Nissan Stadium. So if you can keep it in front of you, there's a chance you can win the game. If you're forcing him into 7, 8, 9-yard completions, there's a chance you can win the game. But I think you got to get pressure. On the flip side of that, the New Orleans Saints, we talked about this a little bit already in the first hour. On the flip side of that, you've got two first-round draft picks out of the lineup, season-ending injuries, in Sheldon Rankins and Marcus Davenport for the New Orleans Saints, the defensive end and the defensive tackle. And while we know Derrick Henry isn't healthy, this offensive line is playing amongst probably the best football it's played all season. And now Derrick Henry is going to be asked to carry this offense again because, you know, what is it we say about great offenses? The best way to stop them, keep them on the sideline. Yeah. And Derrick Henry's the best way to keep the Drew Brees and that offense on the sideline.
No, you're right. And they got to be able to run the football. That's the only way you're going to keep a guy like Drew Brees on the sideline is if you control the clock, which the Titans, you know what, Grant, kudos to the Titans. They've been able to do. You know, they've been able to keep some of these high-powered offenses on the sideline. I don't know why it would be any different this week, maybe because of, you know, Derrick Henry not being fully healthy. But they do a good job at putting together 9, 10, 12 play drives that keep opposing quarterbacks and offenses on the sideline. So I don't see them not being able to do that once or twice this game. But they have to do it 3 or 4 times, I think.
I feel like they had a 9.5-minute drive to start the second half against the Texans and cut the lead. And it got the entire crowd back into the game. And, you know, look, Ryan Tannehill, and strangely enough, again, if you're interested in little nuggets here, Drew Brees finished the game with 22 consecutive passes last week against the Colts when he broke the all-time NFL touchdowns record. Again, we could have the best single season by a receiver in NFL history. That receptions record could fall on Sunday for the Saints of Michael Thomas, who needs, I think, 11 to break Marvin Harrison's record. You've also got Drew Brees, who's completed 22 consecutive passes. If he completes 4 straight to start the game, he will set the NFL record for most completions in a row, held by Nick Foles, Philip Rivers, and both Titans quarterbacks. That's right, not just Ryan Tannehill, but also Marcus Mariota with 25 completions. So he's the all-time NFL quarterback in terms of touchdown passes. He's going to probably extend that this week while Brady plays a tough Buffalo team because Brady and he are chasing it down. This is a chance to watch history, not only a great football game, but history as well.
This is we just got finished discussing the Tennessee Titans getting to Drew Brees and pressuring Drew Brees. Drew Brees has been hit a whopping 51 times. They are the third lowest. They're the third.
Like 3 a game, maybe?
Basically, he only gets hit 3 times a game. They rank 30th in the NFL in hits on a quarterback, who ranks 31st.
That includes sacks, knockdowns,
yeah,
just hits
everything.
In general.
51 times. Baltimore's at 48. Oakland's at 42. Oakland, Derek Carr has been a hit 42 times. That's astounding that your quarterback has only been hit 51 times, you know, compared to the Tennessee Titans, 87 times.
Which is, what, the eighth, ninth in the NFL?
Yeah.
One of the top – a top 10 team in allowing hits to their quarterback.
Yeah.
Not the top 10 you want to be in, Derek.
No, it's not.
No. So, listen, I think pressure, we talked about it last week. Deshaun Watson just had too much time.
Yeah.
Now, Deshaun Watson creates time. The difference this week is does Drew Brees have that ability? Is it just the offensive line? Is it just the pass rush? Mm-hmm. Or can they get there, and this time Deshaun Watson's legs aren't – Saints. Drew Brees can't make those plays that Deshaun Watson makes. Does Deshaun hold onto the ball a little bit longer? Probably so. So yeah. That's the question, is the balancing act of can you get to the stationary spot where Drew Brees – can you get to the spot, right? That's where Drew Brees wants to get. Can you get there and beat him before the ball gets out? And that That's what makes him one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and maybe one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time.
We could have that discussion.
I would argue. I think he's the most underrated quarterback of all time.
That's one of those discussions we can have, you know, in you know, during draft time.
February.
Yeah, February.
Okay. Because we can argue about Drew Brees.
Yeah, because he does. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, his career and win losses and him not ever winning an MVP. That's just
got
sick.
Got a Super Bowl championship.
Never won an MVP ever. And he, you know, it doesn't look like he's going to win it again.
Is it Coach K that's never won Coach of the Year? I think Mike Krzyzewski's never won Coach of the Year. But that's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're just
I guess
your teams are just so good all the time that like everyone's just like, oh, you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be good.
Well, I think in basketball it's probably a little bit different. Because,
well, in coaching,
yeah, in coaches and different because they would like to give it to a guy that you know has taken you know a team that was okay to good, and they played great that season. Well, Coach K's team has always been top two or three teams in the country, you know?
So we know that pass rush is critical. We know the health in the secondary is critical. We've talked ad nauseum about the special teams being critical, and obviously the new kicker, Greg Joseph's going to get his chance to endear himself to the Titans fan base right out of the gate, as he will be the kicker. Ryan Succop placed on IR this week. However, I'd like to know, we've talked about how critical Derrick Henry is going to be to this particular game and this team in the next 2 weeks. The question I have is, what is a reasonable expectation for a not 100% Derrick Henry? And we'll get Derek Mason's thoughts on that when we return right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Show you right.
You know, my daughter asked me for the car. I said, what music do you want to listen to, Maren? She goes, the car one. And that she's referring to Sturgill Simpson because it's got that old muscle car on the front of the record. Down, this is how you get kids into music, by the way, Derek. This is how you get them into music. Album covers. Album cover art will get kids into music because she just goes, play the one with the arms, Daddy. And it's like Tyler Childers' record because it's got a bunch of arms on it. You know, like you get them into the music by the artwork on the album. It's a trick to get them in. I'm just saying, use that at home with your kids if you want to get them into music. You play up the album artwork on the cover of the music. That's how it works.
Yeah, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, I did that as a kid. I used to say, hey, I want to listen to that Snoop Dogg album. But I just couldn't say what album it was called.
Right. Well, like Equimini has a great album cover.
Yes, it does. Amazing.
And it's if you were like a 14-year-old kid and you saw Equimini's cover, you'd be like, that's an interesting album cover. You always talk about that one record from back in the
Parliament.
70s.
Yeah. When they had the album cover, you open it up, it's like the seed. It's like this depiction of, you know, they're underwater and it's this underwater world. And it was the coolest album cover that I've ever seen.
Sticks with you, man. Album art. Lost art, that is for sure. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And, of course, we will have a gift card. We're giving away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. We will have that question for you coming up momentarily at Morning at 1025 underscore MD, at 1025 underscore MD. Of course, is the Twitter account you're going to need to know. Teron Davenport coming up in a few minutes. I just want to know what reasonable expectations are for Derrick Henry this weekend because we know that if he plays, he's going to play as hard as he can.
Exactly.
And maybe his leg doesn't let him play 100%. So I want to know what he did last week, which is, 21 carries, 85 yards, just over 4 yards a carry, not explosive, but fairly productive. Mm-hmm. Is that what you can expect again this week? Or can you say, you know what, Derrick Henry, you're our dude. We need you to, push through the pain here because we can't get to the playoffs without you doing something special.
Yeah, they can't. Their offense, as we've seen, and it's no surprise, but their offense is built around Derrick Henry. And if Derrick Henry is running the ball effective, then more than likely the Titans are going to have a better shot at winning. They have this projection. Again, I go to, projections. And a lot of it is on PFF. The one I look at is it's a fantasy football projections. But that's based on what you do, what they project you running to do in the game. They're projecting Derrick Henry, at 18 carries, 82 yards. Well, to me, that can be – that's a positive, and only if it's one of those things where he's controlling the clock. if he knocks off a 60-yard run early in the game and then gets shut down after that and end up with 82 yards, that's totally different from methodically right. just pounding on you. Then you look at the end of the game, he has 82 to 100 yards. Well, that's good because what they've done is they've been able to control the clock with Derrick Henry. They've been able to pick up positive yards, and they put themselves in a position on third down where it's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. If that happens, then yes. Anything short of that, they can't – I don't think they will win this game. Because even when Deion Lewis came in the game, you saw Houston play things different. They're not scared of Deion Lewis breaking a big run. And if he breaks one, so be it. They don't care. They don't think he can do it on a consistent basis. Well, Derrick Henry, when he's in a game, he's in that backfield, they care. And all 11 guys are looking at what Derrick Henry is doing. And everybody has their eyes on him. So he has to have the ability, or he has to be in a position where, you know, if he's carrying the ball 18, I think this, honestly, this has to be a game where he gets the ball 25, 28 times. This has to be the game yeah. where he almost get that 30 carry game, and he's pounding on the New Orleans Saints. I don't think he's had one of those games this year where he's carried the ball 25, 30 times. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, you have to be wary of long-term injury. You tell me, can you hurt a hamstring long-term, you know, by pushing it too hard right now?
Uh-huh.
I feel like hamstrings are 3 to 5 week injuries that, you know, listen, if you don't make the playoffs, you're fine for camp, right?
Uh-huh.
Like you're
oh, yeah.
fine. You're fine for OTAs. And so I know that sounds weird, but you know what? Playing through pain and being physical, that's a part of every professional athlete's job. Whether that's – and again, I'm not talking about head injuries and CTE uh-huh. and, you know, like long-term serious risk, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about, look, you got a hurt hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make $10 million a year to be the feature back of the Tennessee Titans for the next 5 years. Go show us.
Yeah.
Go do what you do, man. And you know how you win the game? Is Derrick Henry – carrying the ball 25 times on a bum leg. And again, I said it last week, it's the kind of stuff you will tell your kids about. If Derrick Henry on one leg carries this team to the playoffs, it will go down as one of the more memorable finishes to a season that the Tennessee Titans have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So 25 carries, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns, Titans beat the Saints and stay alive for the division championship and a playoff spot. That's historic stuff we come in on Monday morning and talk about.
Yeah. And he has the capability of doing it. He is by far the best player this season on this team. By far, he carries this team. He allows Ryan Tannehill to do the things that he has been able to do in the passing game. Because without the threat of Derrick Henry running the football, then there's no play action. There's no complete getting a one-on-one off coverage on the outside. All of that is because of one guy. Now, granted, the offensive line has played tremendous the last, you know, 4 or 5 games of the season. They have. So kudos to them because we beat them up so bad at the beginning of the year, and rightfully so. But they've turned things around, and they're playing really good football, at least run blocking. And they gave up one sack, I think, last week, somewhere around there. But make no mistake, it's Derrick Henry that runs this offense. So go Derrick Henry, so go the Titans offense. If he's having a great day, Ryan Tannehill's going to have a great day. A.J. Brown's going to have a great day. If he's not having a good day, it makes their job harder because now teams are not putting as much emphasis on Derrick Henry and stopping him. So to me, he's arguably the best player on this team this year. Is he the best athletic? No. He's the best player because he dictates what the defense is going to do. No one else on that team can dictate what a defense coming into a Sunday will do. Well, Derrick Henry does, and you got to pay attention to him. So he needs to be close to 100% as possible because I always go back to last week. If he's healthy, I think, and I do believe, the Tennessee Titans win that game. If he's fully healthy and doesn't, because we saw it 2 or 3 times he got on that second level, it yeah. wasn't able to kick yeah. it into another gear.
And we go, listen, we're starting to trust A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith and uh-huh. Corey Davis in those situations. We trust, you know, listen, Ryan Tannehill's had his fumbling, you know, through all of the great play and all of the wins. Mm-hmm. We also still have to acknowledge that there has been a lot of fumbling from Ryan Tannehill, and he's been sacked a bunch, and he's thrown a few interceptions. So there are some parts of his game he can clean up, but by and large, he's played excellent football. And so we almost now are going, all right, we trust A.J. Brown, we trust Johnny Smith, Corey Davis, you know, we trust Tajay Sharp, we trust Ryan Tannehill, the offensive line is rounding into form. But we know that the guy who makes it all go is 22. And if Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry, they are very, very tough to beat, especially if he's Derrick Henry from right out of the gate.
Yeah.
If they can go 7 or 8 minutes, like, I wonder if they take the ball. Like, I wonder if you take the ball, because normally I'm a defer guy, right? Like, I'm 100% defer. Like, I want to start the second half with the football every single time. But I wonder if you take the football here and you take 8 or 9 minutes off, pretend it's the second half, the way you did against Carolina Panthers, the way you came out and ran the football down their throat for, in a long drive to try to cut the game in the lead in half, the way you did it against the Texans. If they can come out on the first possession of the game and go 8 minutes with like 7 Derrick Henry carries and a couple of play action passes and they go up 7-0, it changes the entire dynamic of the game.
Of course.
The rest of the way. So I wonder if they win the toss, do they actually go, you know, would they take the ball? Or, you know, if I'm the Saints, of course I would. You know, if I'm the Saints, I might take the football too. But who knows? I'm a defer guy. Generally speaking, I want the ball in the second half.
Yeah, and it depends on how the Titans want to approach this. Do they want to put out a sort of beat up defense against that high octane offense and kind of try to let the defense set the tone of what they're going to do, or do they want the offense to set the tone? I'm almost leaning toward, if Derrick Henry is close to being fully healthy, I almost think they're going to take the ball. If they have an opportunity, they're going to receive the ball, because then they want to set a tone of, we're going to run the ball down your throat. This is the way we're going to play offense, and you're not going to stop us. You're not going to dictate, no matter what you do from an offensive standpoint, you're not going to dictate what we do as an offense, and we're going to hold the ball for 12 plays on the first drive, and we're going to eat up 8-9 minutes of the clock, and this is how the game's going to go from here on out. I can see Vrabel, you know, doing something like that, saying, offense, set the tempo right now. If you have a chance, if you win the toss and you elect to defer or receive, I almost think he would receive and say, offense, set the tone right now. So
yep, I completely agree, and so we'll see what happens. We're even breaking down the coin toss today.
Exactly.
On Morning Drive. How about that? Teron Davenport, a guy who leaves no stone unturned. We'll talk to Teron Davenport from ESPN when we come back right here on Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall live from Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, with the biscuits wafting, the smell of biscuits wafting through the air. Teron Davenport from ESPN. Sorry, Teron, we're eating biscuits, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all good, man. I'm just grooving off of that. We about it. No limit right there, man.
Well, he's been all over the no limit. I can't imagine why. I can't put my finger on why he's been playing the Cash Money Millionaires the entire day. Let me ask you this, Teron. What is a reasonable expectation for Derrick Henry production and health this weekend?
Oh, I would say 85 yards. I think that's reasonable. But the thing you got to remember, this Saints team has their own streak of not allowing a 100-yard rusher. So, yeah, 85 yards, man, I think that's reasonable.
But, TD, do you think that – because I said this is probably going to have to be the game, and I think a lot of it is predicated on how healthy Derek is. And with that hamstring, you just don't know. He could be 100% and then run the ball one time and end up straining it again.
Yep.
And he's back at 50%. But we know, unless you got to cut it off, he's not coming out of the game. But is this a game where Derrick Henry, it has to be a 25, almost 30-yard rushing day for him, meaning he gets the ball 25 to 30 times and keeping that offense of the New Orleans Saints on the sideline?
I think that's a reasonable expectation, just because when you're going against such a high-powered offense, the whole objective is to play keep away and ball control. So I could see that. But like you said, you know, that whole thing can change in a hurry with that hamstring. Now, fortunately, it's going to be warmer. I think it's going to be in the 50s on Sunday, so that's a good thing. But still, I mean, even in warmer weather, you push that hamstring too much, man, that thing could definitely grab you, you know what I mean? So it's going to be something that they're going to have to monitor, but I would give him the ball as much as possible.
Teron Davenport joining us here from ESPN covering the Titans. Of course, they'll take on the Saints on Sunday. You know, the secondary has been injured and has been an issue. Adoree Jackson, who knows how much you're going to get out of him. Special teams has been an issue all season. You now are going to try out a new kicker. And the pass rush was fairly lacking last week against Deshaun Watson, and now you've got a quarterback who gets the ball out very quickly. Of those three things, which one are you most concerned about, and which one do you think can work the best?
I think it would have to be the secondary, man, because you know they have other playmakers besides Michael Thomas. But, I mean, week in and week out, you know he's getting the football, and he's still – gets, you know, 12 targets and catches 12 of those targets. So I think, you know, the secondary, especially not knowing what's up with Adoree Jackson, I think that's going to be the biggest concern. But what I think could have the most success, I would say the guys up front. But then again, this Saints offensive line has done a fairly decent job not allowing sacks to happen, but also that goes with Drew Brees' quick release. So, for me, it goes back to what Jeffrey Simmons was able to do on that interception last week against the Texans, excuse me, where he was able to get his hand up. You know, he saw that he couldn't get his pass rush in there, and he was able to get his hand up and knock the ball down, and that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to marry their hands with Drew Brees' arm. When his arm goes up, they got to knock it down.
Now, talking about secondary and you know, because those two kind of play off of one another, I've always believed if you got a good pass rush, then it makes a secondary even better. A lot of times it's not vice versa. It's not the other way around. And with the Titans, especially this last half of the season, for whatever reason, I think some of it had to do with injury, their lack of getting to the quarterback, it's imperative that the Tennessee Titans in the back end, they're able to cover as long as they possibly can. So do you think this sort of bend but not break defense that Dean Pease is imploring is almost because he has to? It's not necessarily because he wants to, but because he has to because of the injuries in the secondary. Do you think that works against the New Orleans Saints?
That's a tough question, man, because they do so well with that passing game as far as Brees picking people apart. I'm not so sure it works against the Saints, you know. And the other thing is they could score from outside of the red zone, too. You know, this is a team that's scoring a lot of points, you know, through deep passes to Thomas, to Jared Cook. You know, they're finding ways. So I think this is a bad week for the Titans defense. I think that's really what it boils down to. And unfortunately, I don't see them winning this game. And I don't, you know, look at the secondary with all the things that they have missing. I don't see how they stop Drew Brees in that offense.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, all right, special teams. I mentioned it, and you sort of went secondary. We've talked about Derrick Henry. I mean, listen, I don't think anyone in their right mind can say that, hey, we said Ryan Tannehill should start from week one. There might have been like 3 or 4% of Titans fans that said that, but nobody expected this. Special teams, I think it is fair to look back the entire season, including camp, and say that maybe different decisions could have been made along the way to get to the point now in week 16 with two games to go vying for a playoff spot that you were on your fourth kicker. I think the Titans have mishandled this situation. Is it going to affect them in the final two games?
Yeah, I mean, man, even you're mixing Santoso, that's yet another kicker. So it's a bad situation that they've been in, but I don't know, man, because it's not all the kicker, right? You know, a couple of the blocks came by way of, you know, getting a push up front. So I guess they could get it fixed. I don't know. I mean, this week they're going to need all the points they could get. So that's the thing. I just, you know, we'll have to see what Greg Joseph brings. I think one of the things that is good is he had 47 touchbacks last year. So that could help in the field positioning side of things. But then also, you know, 85% with the Browns. So evidently the guy has some type of leg. We'll just have to see how that works out.
Now, the passing game, they've been, the Tennessee Titans have been able to get chunk plays the last couple of weeks. And a lot of it, we know, is off of play action and because of what Derrick Henry can do in the run game. Do you see that being an advantage this game in particular for the Tennessee Titans? Because last game, I mean, Jonathan Joseph, I mean, he was good 5, 6, 7 years ago. But, I mean, he can't run anymore. And luckily for the Titans, they got to play him again at the end of the season. So we might end up with the same results, A.J. Brown going over 100 yards. But do you think he can do that this week against a better New Orleans Saints secondary?
Yeah, I think they can do that. And the thing for me, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he's a guy that is probably going to start – you know, with Von Bell being down at safety, and he's a very aggressive safety, and they'll use him, you know, to come up in the box and make plays against the run. So being in that condition, in that zone, I could see them working play action and taking advantage of him being asked to support against the run. So I think that could be successful. I really want to see how the Saints go about guarding A.J. Brown when they go man. Do they have Marshawn Lattimore travel with them? That's going to be something to see. And if they do, that'll really let you know that A.J. Brown has reached the status to where, okay, you know what? He is a guy that's going to draw the attention of the opposing team. They're putting their best corner in cat coverage against him. So I think that's something to watch. But even with that play action there, you know, A.J. Brown against the linebackers, you know, running that slant, the linebackers they're gonna cheat up, right? I mean, it just automatically happens when the play action happens. So I think that could open it up. Long story short, I think they could work the play action this week. I just want to see Demario Davis, though. You know, he's a really good coverage linebacker, so I want to see how he factors into all of that too.
Teron Davenport joining us here. And last one before I let you go, Teron. You know, this team has had over 150 yards rushing in 5 consecutive games. I know if you take the Colts game out of it, which was 6 sacks allowed, I get that. You know, none allowed against Oakland, 2 last week, 1 against Jacksonville. So that's 3 sacks in 3 games there total. Has the offensive line developed the way you would like to have seen it? Did it just take Taylor Lewan some time? Is it the coaching staff? Is it Roger Saffold finding his place? Like, what is it that's been different? Is it just Tannehill and Henry? Can you explain what you see from the development of the offensive line and maybe what it means for the team next year?
Well, I think first and foremost, you saw that group as a whole just start to come together, right? Nate Davis, that's another one. He's kind of taking his lumps, right, and learned the position on the fly. So as he continued to get better, that helped that whole unit. Ben Jones has played pretty well. Conklin is playing really good. So I think those guys coming together as a unit and collectively, you know, gelling and improving has helped. Definitely the emphasis on running the football has helped because now these guys, you know, they like to go and fire off the ball, initiate contact. So that's helped them. And then obviously in Tannehill, right, with his decisiveness, it's a mix of everything, just to be honest with you. You know, his decisiveness, getting the ball out, you know, and them being able to convert on third downs, they've gotten a lot better. From that perspective, a lot of it is them, you know, their hot reads, right, going to Adam Humphries when he was healthy, and now Tajae Sharpe has taken that role. But then in addition to that, staying in manageable down and distances. You're not seeing as many of the penalties that are happening on first and second down and making third down just a mountain to climb. So it's just a bunch of things, but collectively – that whole group, you know, that offense as a whole has improved, and it's mainly because of what's going on with the offensive line and them gelling the way that they have.
Teron, always a pleasure. We know you're taking the Saints, and it seems like you don't think that this is going to be a tough battle for the Titans, and you like the Saints to win. We'll leave on that high note. Teron, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, just, you know, guys, keep it 100, you know what I mean? And
I
appreciate you guys having me on.
I like it. Teron Davenport there from ESPN. Always love talking to Teron. And still worried about the secondary.
Yeah.
Still a big concern with the secondary. So we'll react to that as well as the Preds what happened to them last night. They did collect a point, but was it what you wanted to see? Big news in the college basketball world, so we got a lot of stuff to get to when we come back. We've got some picks against the spread coming up top of the hour as well. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You are listening to Morning Drive live from Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Marquise Munson producing back in the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and obviously we've got some reaction to Teron Davenport. Preds lose last night 5-4. They make a three-goal comeback in the third period. Some absolute magic from Roman Josi to tie the game up. Shouldn't have been down 4-1 in the first place, but it was a great comeback. You do salvage a point. You've now collected 5 out of 6 in the first three legs of this four-game road trip. You now have to play Boston, Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh before you get to the Winter Classic, and that is a really tough four-game stretch. So you collected 5 out of 6 points. That's solid. That's a really great start to the road trip. You now put a little bit more pressure on yourself because you played terribly in the second period yesterday, but you do come back and get a point. So 5-4 last night in overtime, and really weren't competitive in overtime. Didn't really have possession of the puck more than for a few chances in the offensive zone there. James Wiseman, if you missed this news, James Wiseman has removed himself from school at Memphis, the probably a top 2 or 3 pick in the NBA draft from Ensworth. Moved out there, of course. Penny paid for his moving costs with his family. That got him in trouble with the NCAA. They said, hey, you're suspended 12 games. James Wiseman said, peace, I'm out. And now he can get paid. The only time during his life as a human being that he wasn't able to get paid for his basketball skill was like the 4 months he was enrolled in school at Memphis. So now this very second today, he can walk out there and sign up $200 million contract with Nike if he wanted to. That's a huge story that could press the boundaries of the one and done. And, of course, Teron Davenport saying that the secondary was his biggest area of concern for the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday. You on board with the secondary still being the biggest area of concern?
Yeah, I am. And then James Wiseman said, you going to suspend me? You going to suspend me in NCAA?
My man.
All right. I'm leaving. I'm gonna have y'all in Pelican Bay.
I was gonna say, was that Denzel from Training Day or Denzel from American Gangster?
That's Denzel from Training Day. You gonna suspend me?
Denzel's rant at the end of the American Gangster when he's sitting there with Russell Crowe and he starts talking about how his brother got pulled out of his house and the shotgun.
Oh,
and he slaps
man.
The cup. I'm like, you can tell I watched that movie recently.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
I cannot quote it like some of our more amazing counterparts. So
yeah, but the secondary. Yes, it is a big concern because you look at Dean Pease, and Dean Pease has had the ability. He's been afforded the ability to coach at certain teams and with certain defensive backs that are capable of playing man-to-man. Defense, whether he was in New England or Baltimore, where they thrive on, you know, taking the best guy and we can match him up or we can play man coverage and do it very well. And we can do some exotic things blitzing-wise to try to confuse the quarterback. He did an excellent job at that prior to the injuries. We saw how good this defensive unit was, the secondary was, prior to, you know, Malcolm Butler going down. And then Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims missed some time. So the more these guys start to go down, the less he can do from a schematic standpoint. Now I don't think we see Logan Ryan blitzing as much as he did prior to some of the injuries in the secondary.
Right.
And that's a big part of what they do with Logan Ryan. You don't want him manned up on your best guy.
Right.
You don't want him manned up on a fast guy.
Like Ted Ginn would be
exactly.
Their second receiver, and if Logan Ryan's in the slot against Ted Ginn man-to-man, that's a matchup for the Saints.
That's a mismatch, and I don't want that matchup. Yeah. So, yes, the secondary to me is – and then it's compounded by the defense not being able to get a rush. So I've always said if you got a good rush defense – a good rush defensive line, then that's going to make your secondary even better.
Yep.
I've seen secondaries where they're good, but because they're able to get to the quarterback quickly, it makes them even better.
The Giants didn't win the Super Bowl against the undefeated Patriots in 2007 because of Eli Manning or because of the secondary.
They won it because of that.
Their defensive line was
unstoppable.
Disgustingly good. So Jarrell Casey, Jeffrey Simmons need to get pressure up the middle. Harold Landry and those guys off the edge need to get pressure on their own, 1v1 versus without having to bring pressure. And then Dean Pease probably does have to come up with some creative ways to get some pressure to protect his secondary force Drew Brees to get rid of the ball even faster than he normally does, which is, again, a tall ask. And so huge game, of course, coming up against the Titans. Last night, Preds, 5-4 losers in overtime. They do collect a point by fighting back to tie the game, down 4-1 in the third. They tie it up at 4. They do collect that valuable point. So you're in the business of collecting points. That is critical. But you shouldn't have been in the 4-1 deficit situation in the first place. You played a completely lackluster and terrible second period, for lack of a better phrase. Mm-hmm. Pretty good in the first, really good in the third. Sort of a microcosm of their whole season. Very inconsistent, putting themselves in a bad situation, having to fight their way back out. And again, they did to gain a point. You didn't collect 2 points, and I don't think the coaching staff's going to look at that tape and say, yeah, that was a pretty consistent, pretty thorough effort by us last night.
No, I'm headed, you know, going into the second period, they were up 1-0, and all of a sudden, Ottawa, you know, goes on this, you know, barrage of goal scoring, and they score 3. Now the Predators are down 3-1. Then they have to make it up in the third period. They score 3 unanswered goals, but they allow Ottawa to then score another to tie the game up and send it to overtime. And then in overtime, I mean, you said it, the Preds never really had the puck in overtime, and then they get in a penalty situation. So that kind of compounds the situation. Here's the thing and people, you can say what you want. But, you go back to when the losing streak ended. November 21st was their last loss in that streak. And then the 23rd of November, they started to play better. But they've been inconsistent. Win, win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, win, loss, loss, win, win, loss, loss. So judging by their schedule and their past history, yes, they're going to lose again before they get another victory. I'm only going by the numbers. I understand they did get points within these losses. They got a point against Vegas. They got a point against Tampa. Obviously, they got a point against the Senators. So even in their overtime loss, they end up getting a point. But that's not the fact. The fact is that they are playing inconsistent hockey. They are too damn good to be playing inconsistent hockey. I equate them to the Cleveland Browns, not from a discipline standpoint, so hear me out. Don't just take one thing that I said and then disregard everything else.
You don't think the coach is completely incapable of
absolutely
running a franchise, right?
This coach is capable of running a franchise. We've seen it. History says that he is. That's not what I'm saying. But from a talent standpoint, they are in the same damn boat as the Cleveland Browns. All of this talent, but can't put it together consistently. For whatever reason, they got a guy that's injured, and Victor Arvidsson, they could possibly play for any team in the league. The talent is there.
Yep.
Why they play so inconsistent, I don't know. And even they collect a point out of this. Do they then go back, and maybe they don't have enough time because they got to play again. It's such a long season. Do they then go back and say, you know, these are the things that we did wrong in this game. Even though we came back because we're capable of coming back because we got enough scores, we still end up losing a game and only gaining 1 point. This shouldn't have been a situation where we were down 3-1 heading into the third period. We are too damn good, too well coached for this to be happening. And I don't know why it's happening.
Yep. And still a ton of games left to go. But, you know, by the time you get to – they're at 34 games right now. By the time you get to 40, 41 games, you're at the halfway mark. You can't be figuring out who you are
after
41 games. You should know who you are at that point. So we'll see. 38 points in the standings, 1 back of Minnesota, of course. So they're still right there in the mix, and it's a long way to go. They are 7-3-3 in their last 13 since the losing streak, but still very, very inconsistent. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio rate review and subscribe today. We've got a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. We're going to give you that question coming up in just a few minutes. We also have 2 tickets to the Preds game. We'll give those away against Arizona coming up in maybe like an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
Right about 9:15 or so, we'll give away some tickets to a Preds game as well. So we got a lot of stuff still left to do, including some picks against the spread. We'll talk with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.